Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Midnight Garden. I am your host, Lato Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me here. Let's just sit together between the cheese and the summer sausage, because I've been reading the Hickory Farms, not Hickory Farms, yeah, Bob, what is it? Hickory Farms. I've been reading some catalog, which I shouldn't say the name of anyway on the air. So it's a cheese and summer sausage. We'll be where we're sitting today, and we're going to speak of things great and small, important and not so important. You know the drill. Once again, thanks for joining me here today. Nothing too terribly weighty for you today, so you can relax. I did, I guess probably the biggest thing, well, I do want to tell you that my friend, whom I've spoken of a couple of times, her name is Jody. I should just say her name because you don't know who she is anyway. It's just so awkward, as my friend this and my friend Jody, who has been battling a cancer, is now doing better. She has a long way to go still, but is out of the hospital at home. She still needs a lot of help at home to get around and get fed and whatnot. So her friends have been taking turns, and just to indicate how many friends she has, I have not gotten a turn yet. So I'm sure that will come up at some point in the near future. But thanks to everyone who's what the hell? I didn't know there was water there. Yes, because I don't sit in this room very often. This is my living room. And as I said, I barely use it. And I was looking for some places for stuff, because it just leaves where I have a kitchen, a bedroom, and a bathroom. And none of them have very many electrical outlets. So I came, I happened to notice that this particular room, the living room, has five different electrical outlets. Well, 10 actually, because there's two on each, whatever you call that thing. Well, I should move some stuff in here and actually use my living room some. But then something just happened that I was not expecting. I hope that it's not going to, it disrupts me because I'm very easily distracted. And I'll probably just talk about that water flowing. So I had what I thought was water flowing here in the apartment, you know, the pipes in the walls. It was going on for weeks. We couldn't get in touch with my neighbors to see if they had left something on or what the deal was, but then it finally stopped. I never had any water come into the apartment or anything like that. It was just something on that shouldn't have been on, I guess. But I will try to persevere here. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know if I can move this. Something that hallway, that darkened hallway behind me, is just sort of freaking me out. I'm going to leave something up. Oh, come down the hallway. I think I've skewed it all on my jump where it can't be seen. Still, you know, recyclables, which I still have not gotten out. I said last week, they're the same recyclables with plus a few more. I just haven't taken them to where they need to go. Isn't even that far. The recycling place is an elementary school down the road, a couple walks. Got to get the gumption to do it. Boy, that water flowing is going to annoy me. It is going to annoy the hell out of me until it stops. I often wonder if my utility noises are as pronounced in the apartment upstairs as theirs are down here. Also, there's the problem of water temperature to be considered. Last year at this time, under the heading of being grateful, last year at this time, we did not have any hot water here in the apartments. Evidently, the water system, including the hot water tanks, were original equipment of this building, which is over 100 years old. Then one day it gave up the ghost, I guess, and they had to bring somebody in to completely redo the water system, and this took some time. So there was a period of time where any hot water we had would be generated by us through boiling make some hot water for a bath or something like that. And it was kind of a weird in the History Channel kind of way. I kind of wished for some, if not antique, at least old school basins and things like that. Because the water was in, kitchen stuff. That's, whoa, I made my own earthquake there for a second. Okay, there we are. All the hot water was in, kitchen pots and pans and stuff like that, and in the bucket. So it's like take the place of my shower. I'd be in the shower, no water on, just this hot water, which I would pour over me, and then that would go into the bucket. And I would sort of do it two or three times. I would lose all the water and conserve the amount of hot water that I had to make, because it does take some time and some energy to do that. I mean, energy to boil the water. I mean, it doesn't take energy for me. I just put it on the stove. But that passed. The people managed to. It was quite a mess because they were putting in a modern water tank system in the space designed for an ancient water system. They would like to have pulled all the piping out and started from scratch. But our landlords were not ready to spring for that. And it wasn't a necessary thing. It was just a preferred thing. But they got their tanks in, and there we go. Then they have never worked right. There's the switching between the cold and the hot water, or usually you get sort of smooth switching where you turn the dial. It's okay, it's too cold, so I turn it towards warm, and I turn it towards warm a little bit. Okay, that's good. So like maybe I have to turn it back a little bit. Our water is either ice cold or steam. That's all you get. It's just like maybe a half an inch of play, and then you're going to catch it just right. And then you have to get a hurry because it won't stay. It'll start to drift either to hot or to cold. And it won't, you go down, and then you take it down that half an inch, and now you're ice cold again. And take it up a half an inch, and it's blowing hot again. But in their minds, they have fixed it. It's like that website. Look, I fixed it. Probably got a bunch of duct tape on or something. I'm half tempted to go down to the basement. One day I'm going to have to figure out how I can take the computer, because I know there's an outlet over there. I'll take the computer over there and show you the door. It's a door perfect from a 70s horror movie, a door into hell. It's like half-size door that you got to get down on your hands and knees to go through. And a stairway down to the basement. And I'm told, I've never actually been down there in 3.5 years here at the apartment. I've never actually gone down there. But I am told that there are no walls or divisions of any kind between the apartments. So if you can get down there, you go around to somebody else's apartment, kick the door in, and you're in. There's no, I don't know if it's this way in all the other apartments, but my door is open all the time, which really makes me nervous. I don't like it. It's not demons from hell I worry about, but actually kind of is, because I've been told there have been rats downstairs in the past. I hate to admit that, but they did that. They leave the door standing open so that the exterminators, the bug exterminators, can get in and out without having to have the without having to have the maintenance people come and let them in. So, I mean, fine. They got mad at me once. They got mad because they used the door is inside of a closet. And I have the temerity to actually use that closet. So if there's too much, I try and keep everything away from that door so that they have unfettered access. Well, one time I had a box. It was an empty box, but it was the top of the stack. And it had fallen down and was laying in front of the door. And they would not move that box without permission. So I got, written up. I didn't get my insecticide the way I was supposed to. It's an empty box. It's kind of to move it, but it's the world in which we live, I guess. The way things are, you gotta check off all the boxes. Speaking of which, I got a note from my friendly job and family services people. who were good enough to finally approve my my SNAP benefits, my food stamps, at a lower level than I had before, but it makes sense because I'm making more money now than I did before. It's been about a month since they approved them, and now I've gotten a piece of paper that says I have to give them an interim report. It's time for you to prove that you're still eligible, because they go by the original application date. The original application date is 6 months ago. It took them 5 months to approve it. So we're still back. I mean, they'll go from the approval date. They go from the, my knee is bumping into the table, and that's creating those earthquakes. So anyway, I mean, there's not much to it. It's just it's kind of odd. You say, well, I'm done with that for a little while, but let them for a little while. Never really done with it because I got Medicaid to take care of here in a couple months too. Still gonna do the work of being underemployed is never done. Anyway, I wanted to talk about the job fair that I just went to. It's one of those things that you do, in addition to dealing with JFS, is you go to job fairs and try and find that meaningful full-time employment that will take me away from all this government-paid squalor. That's probably 3 or 4 times a year I'll go to a job fair. You go around, I tell you what my last job was, what I did. It gets more and more embarrassing because my last real job was 6 years ago. It's actually getting harder for me to remember what I did. Boy, oh boy. Past midnight, too. We're into the water here past midnight. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just very easily distractible. We got people outside the door now, too. That's fine. That's one thing. Well, I mentioned I moved my location here, and I'm in the living room. One problem is I don't have as much light in here. I noticed before I went on the air that a couple of the light bulbs, there's a 3 light bulb fixture that's underneath some glass, and it's 2 of them are out. So I got to replace those, and I'm not 100% sure I know how to do that. Trying to think of whether I have ever replaced any of the light bulbs in this apartment. I may actually have to call maintenance for a tutorial on that, or not. I was thinking, I'll get up there and I'll be able to figure out what it is. It's just you're up there. I don't have a ladder, so I'm up there on a chair, figuring out that. And then your hands are over your head, and you're unscrewing the light bulb, and you're screwing the new one in, and you're trying not to drop it. And it's not my favorite household job. I also noticed I have a light bulb out in the bathroom. I thought, you see my picture today, I'm looking kind of washed out. And I got that little color fizz thing over there, and actually over the whole screen, it's mostly recognized in the corners or where there's anything dark like that navy blue bag that's behind me. I can write that by adding light. Now, I don't know how right it will get because I'm sitting in front of a light. I'm backlit right now. And that's a little bit of an issue, too. I don't have my TV out here. I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to, because the table that the TV sits on is way lower than the table that my computer is sitting on right now. So I can't really put it, I'm playing the DVDs because I got, that's the other thing. I would not have mentioned them on the show last week. My big triumph, I got this subwoofer to work. It's one that Miss Twyla Evening Star gave me. She had replaced her sound equipment and was having trouble getting rid of this older stuff because it's all stereo plugs, RCA plugs, and nobody wants those anymore. So, and as I started working with them, I figured out why. It's just not compatible with any of the newer equipment. But I had lots of old patch cords. Not as many as I used to have. I recycled a bunch of them, but I did still have a few left. By mixing and matching and moving and grooving, just 2 days ago, everything fell into line, and my subwoofer roared to life, and I have the thump thump. I've not heard the thump thump for so long. I think it's been since I was in college, because I never really had. I lived in apartments, apartment living most of my life, and I was always conscientious about playing my music too loud. So from my early 20s on, no thump thump. No thump thump. My joke. But now, got my thump thump. I've been enjoying that. Me and my neighbors play their music loud all the time, so I don't worry about it. What I do worry about is earlier before the show, I was watching The Hateful Eight. I'm listening to the nice speakers and thump thump on the map. But there's a use, there's liberal use that movie does of a certain word beginning with the letter N. And I worry about those words going out because I'm sitting right next to my door. Mike's right next to my outside door. If you're standing outside of my door, you can hear every word I'm saying right now. It's not engineered for privacy. So I think I might have somebody going to start beating down my door because they heard this sense of words. So I took that out. I think I can confine myself to listening to that on the headphones, even though I don't have a very good set of headphones. You can see it's my headphones when I'm right. I also want to try, with Christmas approaching, I want to look at getting a microphone that is not tied into these headphones. So I don't need the headphones for anything. I mean, all I really use them for is to check the microphone before I start. And because if I have the sound on and the headphones right now, it'd be there's a little bit of a delay, and I can't thump 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 thump. It's like me echoing it on myself. I can't speak anymore. So that'll be a project as well. Getting one of those microphones. I had one once, and my roommate at the time borrowed it from me to use at an event he had organized. So I wanted to record the speaker's speech and did this clip on mic, and he never gave it back to me. So what are you going to do? I don't even know where he is now. These things, I ran across him several years ago anyways, before I moved out here. So I still lived by the university. He was walking his dogs. He's probably enjoying it. It was on the tip of my tongue to ask him about the microphone, but I didn't. Too much time has gone by. I just don't need to know about it now. Even my first place to live here, the big city, I lived in an upstairs room, a little tiny room with the roof. That's pointing, you're in the point of the roof. It's like a triangle room. And I actually like that very much. It had quite amazing energy to it. And I had a bed in there that was left behind by a previous tenant. And it was a very lousy mattress on it, but then I replaced it with a mattress we got from another departing tenant. I took that whole mess with me over to my apartment on Neal Avenue when I moved to the university district. So That was a good bed. It didn't have any box springs. It was just on a piece of particle board. Very interesting sleep. But I was going to talk about that doctor. That was out at the university, and I had my class that day that I'm going to and enjoying very much. I figured he has a stroke. I'll take the bus. So they don't have to rack up huge parking fees. And I'll go to the job fair and then go to the class. So I got there. I have my resumes and I had everything I needed. Started walking around and this odd thought, I don't know anybody here. Of course, it would be very unusual for me to meet someone at a job fair that I knew. I mean, if among the people that are looking for not looking for jobs, but looking job employers, I felt, I mean, the first few people I tried to talk to, it was extremely awkward. And I hadn't, if I think back on it, it's probably been getting awkward for the last two or three times, just two or three job fairs. I just haven't noticed it, or I stuffed it off to something else. This was awkward. The way I was presenting myself, I did not think I was presenting myself well. And the explanation that comes over my head is I don't know any of these people. Where I was looking around for a kindred spirit, somebody who I thought I might be able to talk to, and I didn't know how exactly I was going to spot that person. I didn't know what the physical attributes were going to be. But I was walking, you know, in circles around all through the, they're arranged in rows the way they used to are, up and down the rows, up and back, and finding nothing nothing that spoke to me, nothing that spoke back to me. It's like, come over here, and I think there's something over here for you. So only having talked to, I think, three different people and handed out one resume, I abandoned the attempt. I left. I just felt, I felt like I was in a room of dead people. You know, it was just, why do I want to be a part of this? Which is problematic because either I continue to live the poverty life, which I realize I cannot do forever. I have people who are helping to support me, and they're not going to be able to help support me forever. And it's still 14 years before I can get on Social Security, presuming that that still exists when I get to be 67 years old. So I have a problem. I talked about this some last week, I think. Certainly I have the desire to make my own way and to not be living off of others. What I don't have is a pathway. I know what the traditional pathway is. The traditional pathway was what I ran away from at the job fair. That path is a dead end for me. It's because I'm not young enough. I'm not pliable enough. I don't have what is loosely referred to as an education. This is more about gaining certain certifications, having things checked off of your list. That's what is thought of as an education. You know, whereas I went to school for 4 years and demonstrated my ability to absorb, a broad-based collection of knowledge and to synthesize it and maybe come back with something new. I don't think the people who are trained in higher education, they are capable of doing that. Just because the way it's set up like a bunch of puzzle pieces. And this is what we're going to solve today. You know, we'll solve like a Rubik's Cube, which we're solving the reds today. And tomorrow we'll solve the greens, but that will screw up all the reds, but that's, you know, it's okay. Because today we were going to solve the greens. That's what we had today. For today, it's greens. It's all I worry about. And that doesn't get you there. I go downtown, and I'm looking at all those tall buildings around me, and it's impossible for me to believe that there isn't somebody up there who couldn't use me. But what's the pathway? Can it really be write letters and write resumes forever? Untargeted? Just keep writing until you drop? I don't know. Maybe that's it. My therapist is giving me the name of an employment service that he has used, and I haven't talked to them. Maybe I should, but my experience with these sort of things is I talked to one, I've had a therapist point me in that direction before, I'm thinking of three different places that I've been pointed towards, and they showed me how to download a resume off the internet. I know how to write a resume. Okay, I've written a few, and I just didn't know what the resume supposed to look like. It depends entirely on the person who's reading it. Okay, and you think, okay, well, you're really playing a percentages game. However you write the resume, you're betting that more people like it that way than like it some other way. And it's if you gamble, you lose. That's what they say. And if you've got a gambling problem, call. I think you could fairly be accused, if you put in the resume game, of having a gambling problem. I don't see what recruiters do from outside of my site, obviously, but it doesn't look like they're spending a whole lot of time with my resume when they're talking to me. What else I saw at the job fair was another outfit recruiting teachers, English teachers for China. But I couldn't get, they had a long line, and I couldn't quite get close enough to see if it was that same one that I was working with 2 years ago. I didn't really have a problem with them other than the fact that they just stopped communicating with me. But when I started telling people about it, for the most part, not everybody, but for the most part, started telling me all these things, all these horror stories, things that were wrong about working in China, the people you were living with, the people that they sent you to stay with, would keep you there and put you in slavery, and you didn't have any communication with American consulate. The American consulate could be, and there was that whole, there was some sort of difficulty. I don't remember what it was. The time we were talking, there was some sort of difficulty, some sort of diplomatic difficulty between the United States and China. And my parents basically begged me not to go. And then I didn't have to make the decision anyway because the place stopped communicating with me. But it was interesting around it. And it's probably the most energetic I felt that day, not necessarily wanting to talk to them, but wanting to see if it was just invite. Well, anyway, I just got my 90-second warning. So I want to thank you for tuning in. I've gotten so many ideas about how I need to change the lighting of this. See, I published the video on the Facebook page. So you might even see the squalor in which I live, if you want to check that out there. And I get to sleep because I gotta be to work at 10, which means I have to leave the apartment at 9, which means I have to be up at 8, and it's 12:30 now. So, thank you so much for joining me. Please join me next week, and have a pleasant good evening.